sign it, and drive it. That's about all there is to it at Reading Kia during the best sales event of the summer.
Right now, it's zero down, zero due at signing, zero first month's payment, and zero security deposit to lease a 2015 Optima LX, Forte LX, Soul Base, or 2016 Sorento LX. 0000.
It's Reading Kia with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty that beats Toyota, Honda, and Nissan all day long.
And remember, every vehicle purchase comes with complimentary lifetime oil changes. And if you've got a trade-in, Reading Kia strives to give you more for your trade-in every day.
Sign it and drive it today at Reading Kia.
36-month lease through Kia Motors Finance on approval of credit, plus tax, license, any dealer documentation charges, and any emission testing charge. Subject to prior sale ends September 8th.
Reading Kia's Sign It and Drive It event won't last forever. Sign it and drive it today at Reading Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, ReadingKia.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, State of Jefferson. We're here for yet again another Sunday and another episode of Jefferson State of Mind. This is the Bear Red Smith. We will be absent the mouse again. She has some things going on. So once again, you poor people are stuck with just myself to keep you going, let you know what's going on with the State of Jefferson. And we're here under some cloudy weather, and it's got a little feel of rain to it, and I'm hoping some of that rain actually materializes, because we certainly know we need it up here for a whole bunch of different reasons, from filling our reservoirs to getting some help and some reprieve with the fires that are going on. Going to touch on that a little bit today, and some of the things that are sort of going on, and kind of some big news. It's you don't get to get all of the news, but a little bit of a teaser announcement about some good things that are going on. We're going to be talking about the fact that we have two new counties that have come and asked us to come speak about the State of Jefferson, and they want to form committees, and that's going to be Amador and Calaveras County are looking at joining the movement and getting on board. They've seen what's going on and heard the message with some of the other counties, and they think the State of Jefferson may be the right thing for them. That's very exciting as the movement continues to grow in popularity and an exponential rate that we never could have imagined when we first started this thing. So we are just fresh back from an event in Placer County that was fantastic. There was a barbecue put on down there by the Placer County Committee, and had a lot of people. I was a speaker myself, and Steve Baird and Terry Raposa, and some other people. That was rather fantastic, and a good turnout, and had a lot of people that you know, weren't against the State of Jefferson. They were kind of on the fence, and they wanted some questions answered, and they wanted to kind of hear the message. And I think for the most part, after talking to them and after answering questions, I believe most of those people aren't on the fence anymore. I believe we ended up with a lot of supporters from the State of Jefferson, and you know, heard a lot of things about what people thought that they could do if we had the State of Jefferson, what they could do in their personal lives and in their business lives. And just the look in someone's eyes when they get the thought of freedom and the look at hope of what a free state could do, it's so exciting to see. And instead of, you know, talking to people and you kind of see that beat down look in their eyes and they're not sure what they're going to do next, or, you know, what the state's going to come at them with next, or how they're going to make it 6 months from now or a month from now. And instead, you kind of see them start to dream again. And that's always my favorite part of the whole thing that we do, is seeing people get that touch of hope again of what could be possible. So, as I was saying, we were down in Placer County, And fantastic things down there. They are going after a petition drive, huge. They have got people out at all kinds of different events gathering signatures. They've got people that are going to be beating the pavement. They're going to be people taking them, you know, taking signature sheets to work and getting the things done so that they can get their county in. Other counties are going to be showing up to help them do that. And, you know, one of the things that was brought up is how vital these signatures are. It may seem like a small thing, but every bullet in a war is a small thing until you kind of add them all up and see where they go. And that was said is, you know, every signature that you can get is a bullet fired for freedom, you know, and they are shots that are being heard around the world. And sometimes we kind of get a tendency to get into the grind of this thing and kind of go, man, when is it going to happen? When is this going to happen? And if you think about the monolithic task that we've taken on of separating the state for the first time in 150 years and going from no infrastructure, no movement, no anything to what we have now approaching our second year and getting ready to go into legislation, and that we have 8 counties on board already, and the fact that we have many more counties that are in the hopper. We think there's another 4 counties that are very close. You know, a lot of times when you're involved in the day-to-day grind of Jefferson and everything, it can get to be weary. It can be a drain on you, and you kind of, you know, go, man, when? But if you kind of take a step back from that and take a deep breath and look at what we have managed to accomplish in the time that we have done it, if it had taken us 10 years to get this far, it'd still be historic. We've done it in under 10 years. I mean, we are shaking the foundations of Sacramento. They're starting to wake up. They're starting to pay attention. They're becoming fearful. It's to the point where some of the Democratic parties want to put legislation into Sacramento asking the legislature to openly oppose the State of Jefferson movement. You don't think they're taking us serious? You don't think the argument's gone from, oh, that'll never happen, to, oh, my God, these people are doing this? You know, nobody can say that they're not paying attention and they're not fearful of what we're doing. And I'd kind of like to address that fear a little bit, too. I mean, exactly what are you afraid of? You're afraid of what your future would look like in the free state of Jefferson. How are you not terrified of what your future looks like in the state of California? I don't understand that logic. You take the things that the state of California is doing actively to destroy the economy, actively to destroy people's lives, to actively take control of people's lives. They're rampant. They're out of control. It's insane. And you know, some of the things that were discussed yesterday were, you know, property rights and the rights of the government and the things that they can do. And a couple of times we heard, well, that's the law, but that's not the way that things work anymore. Well, what does that mean? It's the law, so you have surrendered because you're unwilling to hold your employee accountable to the law that you authorize? I kind of scratch my head at that one a little bit. And when you put it to people that way and you pose that question, they kind of go, oh, yeah, huh, they really do work for us. And that's something that we need to realize is ultimately at the end of this, we still have the tools to change this, to put people into place, to do the things that we're doing. How much longer that ability is going to last and exist, I can't give you an honest answer about that. But if we continue on the path that we're on, we're not going to have that ability forever. And for me, doing some of the research I've done, watching some of the things that are going on, I really believe we need to be in kind of a now or never mindset. Because if we lose the fight and the push for liberty that we have right here in the state of Jefferson, I don't see it happening again. I don't see it happening in time to get this turned around before we're in a different kind of fight for our lives. So those are some of the things that I wanted to touch on as we get going. And a couple other things of the insanity of California that I wanted to bring up. But we're going to go ahead and get off to our first break. You're here at 1460 KCNR AM. As always, you can call in at 530-605-4567. Got your questions and comments, go ahead and give me a call. All right.
Only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit soj51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
About kind of sums up the state of California, doesn't it? You know, mistreat you, and then they don't even have the fortitude to face you themselves. They send their henchmen to collect their stuff and change their number. And that's why you're going to be someone that I just used to know, California. Because we're done with it. And, you know, one of the insane things that is going on with the state of California, and you can go on forever, and we do often go off on the many, many different things that California is doing. You know, one of the big topics in Placer was CalPERS, and explained to everybody that I hate to tell you, whether you agree with Jefferson or whether you're a staunch supporter of California, you're worried about what your CalPERS is going to look like in the state of Jefferson. You need to be terrified of what it looks like in the state of California, because your retirement account's a dead man walking. There's no ifs, ands, or buts or ways around that. You know, that was one of the things. And just, you know, you could pick your topic on the insanity of California. But the one that I want to harp on, and I know I hit a lot because it's very personal to me, is the wildfires. But there is no more perfect example that encapsulates the entire insanity of California than what's going on with our wildfires. And you take Trinity County and the fires that have gone on up there. 10% of Trinity County has burned. Now, to put that into perspective, if you took the entire land area of Trinity County and you grabbed Trinity County and you pulled it flat by the corners, Trinity County by square land is the size of Texas. That's no joke. You pull Trinity County flat, it's the size of Texas, and 10% of that is burned to the ground. 10% of Texas has been allowed to burn. You are talking about a county that is now $40 million in debt. And we tried to tell them 2 years ago, hey, you guys are going in debt, and it's going to be pretty bad. And they told us that we were crazy. We didn't know what we were talking about. The gravy train was going to keep coming from the state of California. And, you know, these are just how things worked. And, you know, it turned out that they were right. We were wrong. We didn't know what we were talking about. We tried to tell them they were going to be $32 million in debt. In fact, they were $40 million in debt. So Trinity County was right. We didn't know. But the thing is here's a county that's $40 million in debt. They're trying to operate a county the size of Texas on a shoestring and like four sheriff's deputies that they've got left. And they just got to watch billions of dollars, about $8 billion of timber go up in smoke. Okay, Trinity County is filled with nothing but the most valuable timber on the face of the planet. It's filled with it. It's chock full. The whole county is covered like a carpet in it. And here is this county that's $40 million in debt. They don't know how they're going to make it from day to day. And they are surrounded by wealth that they're not allowed to touch. Okay, this is the moral equivalent of Jerry Brown pulls up in front of a poor family's house that's starving and living on pine cones and grass roots. And he pulls up in a great big shiny semi that's filled with food and filled with a pallet of money to pay off the family's mortgage and send the kids to college. And Jerry Brown hops out in front of these people's house and takes a match and lights this truck on fire. And then after the truck's good and burned so nobody can use anything in it, Jerry gets on a cell phone and calls 911, and the fire department shows up and finally puts the truck out. And then he goes up to the people's house and knocks on the door and says, man, aren't you glad that you live in the state of California? Because without me, nobody would have been here to put out the fire. I mean, really, if you think about it, at the end of the day, the similarities there are exact. And, you know, it's funny until you think about how true it is. And then to make it even worse, part of the reason this family is so poor is because Jerry Brown takes money from them in case there might be a fire, but instead of buying a fire truck or a plane or an extra fireman, he's funding more things that are going to keep the family even more poor. That is how insane it has become, and these are the kind of things that have to stop and are stopping. And what is fascinating to me and what is so exciting is we were always taken aback when the movement really first kind of caught traction, got going, at how fast we grew. I mean, the state of Jefferson went from 0 to 60 in no time. It exploded. There was county communications flying back and forth. There was people wanting to sign up and help. There was supporters going on. And that was nothing to what we're seeing now. There was a drop in the bucket compared to how fast we're growing. On our way down to Placer County, you can't drive 2 or 3 miles and not see 2 or 3 cars that have a State of Jefferson bumper sticker, a flag outside of somebody's house, or a sign up and down the road. I mean, the word's out, the movement's in play, and we're not going anywhere. This is it's going to happen. You know, the people are demanding their rights. And it's It's spectacular to watch the awakening that's going on. And some of the conversations that we had yesterday, like I was talking to a guy, and he's a doctor, and he works with kind of a small conglomerate of other doctors. And one of the things that they envision is they want to put a medical school somewhere in what would be the state of Jefferson. And this is a plan he and his partners have kind of had for some time, and they don't know how to do it under California regulations and how to do it. They don't know how they could ever make a success of this medical school. And once we explain some of the things that we could do in the state of Jefferson and some of the things that we can opt out of as a sovereign state like Obamacare and the things like that, I mean, this guy's eyes lit up. He could see the possibilities. And, you know, what a fantastic resource for the state of Jefferson to have a full-blown medical school at our disposal, especially at a time because of Obamacare, we are losing doctors left and right up here in the North State. Our medical coverage is shrinking. And there is a prime example of, yes, that's a federal program, that's a federal regulation, but we as a sovereign state have the 10th Amendment and the ability to exercise our sovereignty to put a stop to that and set up our own medical programs that are functional, that actually work in fashion with the doctors so that we can come up with a system that's sustainable and helps to take care of our people. You know, it's time to stop letting the government dictate our rights and what we can and can't do to us, and take our government back and remind them that they exist solely to protect our rights, not the other way around. They're not there to tell us how we can do business, how we can't do business, you know, what we can do, what we can't do. They're there to make sure that nobody takes our ability to decide those things for ourselves away. And it's so much fun to watch this guy's eyes light up, and you can see the gears winding behind his head of the possibilities of the different things that they could do. And right there, sold, dyed in the wool, the ardent Jefferson supporter. That guy's going to fight like crazy because Jefferson is the way to his dream. Okay, California is the dream killer. It used to be, you know, and I've said it before. I always thought I had kind of hit the lottery. I grew up in the best part of the best state and the best country in the world, and it's been destroyed. It's been taken apart at the seams. It's been graffitied on. It's been, you know, the politicians are out back peeing on the dumpster. I mean, what's going on? And we need to really, really put a stop to it. And it's beginning. And, you know, one of the things that we've always said, that if, you know, your politicians tell you no, what do you mean no? You work for me. You're my employee. We have put you in that seat. And if they are unwilling to put you, if they're unwilling to listen to you, if they're unwilling to follow the will of the people, it's time for them to go. Do not allow them to be complacent in their refusal. It's time to remind them that if you don't do the work and the will of the people, you're gone. You're out of here. You may not even be able to finish the term that you got, let alone get another one. And that is where the biggest failing on our part has come from. But I also see an awakening on that front. People are starting to understand. And in truth, California has enabled that awakening itself. So I guess that validates the, you know, out of all evil, some good must come. Because if you take, for example, the SB 277 referendum, basically the state legislature looked at the people of California. There was no one that wanted to support this vaccine thing, and basically gave the people the finger and then asked them what they were going to do about it. You know, and that's another thing, too, is we cannot be caught up about arguing for the cure or the treatment of the symptoms of the disease. Okay, now, what do they do? Automatically, they get people fighting about whether vaccines are good or vaccines are bad. Okay, they distract, they deflect, and now everybody's arguing over whether, oh, vaccines are good, no, vaccines cause autism, vaccines are fine, and they forget the entire point of the real argument. And the real point of the argument is don't you get to decide that yourself and whether or not that goes into your body or your children's body? That's the argument. The argument's not over whether you believe vaccines are good or vaccines are bad or anything. The argument is since when did the government decide that they have a right to tell you what you can put in your body and what you can't put in your body? And we can't allow ourselves to get distracted from the primary argument on things like that. You know, another one of my personal harps is immigration and illegal immigration. And there seems to be two sides of the argument: is grant them all amnesty and reward them for breaking the law, or throw everybody out of the country. Okay, but we're arguing over the symptom here. What's the real disease? The real disease is the fact that our immigration system is broken and needs to be fixed. Why is it so hard to immigrate to this country? You know, and I'm sure you people have heard me hit this before, but I am a firm believer that the best thing for America is more Americans. It's what this country was built on. It's one of the things that made it great. And we were able to accept tens of thousands of immigrants at a time with no assistance of computers or technology or anything. But nowadays, it's going to take you hundreds of thousands of dollars and 3 to 7 years to immigrate. Why is that system broken? That system's broken intentionally because you have a government that is willingly, and no matter which side of the argument they're on, all they're really doing is setting up a second class of citizen where the government enables their rights, enables their privileges, and that same government can take them away at any time that they want because those people are existing outside of the law. They're setting up a second class of citizenry that is indentured directly to the government. It's slavery. It may be a soft form of slavery, but it's nothing but slavery. And when we get caught up in these nonsense arguments and don't focus on the real problem, that's what we end up with, is they are allowed to continue and exacerbate the problem until we can't get rid of it while we argue about the symptoms of the cancer. Well, with that, we're going to have a great big announcement over the on the next side here when we come out of the break, but we're off to our next break, and we get to tease you a little bit after this. So we'll see you in a minute.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Nate Abarea back here with Dr. Sam Carino of the Shasta Spine Specialist. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX-9000, and what it can do to improve your health and your life.
The DRX-9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX-9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica. Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical spinal decompression, like the DRX-9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive, with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs. We want the people of Shasta County to improve their health and become stronger in their bodies. Our all-inclusive care program includes physiotherapies, nutrition, exercise, decompression, and chiropractic care.
Give Shasta Spine Specialists a call at 243-2300, 243-2300, or check them out online, ShastaSpine.com.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds inside Wind River Resort and Casinos Elements Lounge, September 3rd from 7 to 9 p.m. Join me, Linda Bot, as I sing my favorite jazz songs from the American Songbook. Dining, dancing, and a cool night of jazz with Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, and Bobby Veramontes on drums. My very special guest this night will be Joe Larson on trombone and vocalist Joe Catania. Call 243-3377 for reservations for Lady Bot and the Bluebirds.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
The voice in my head, hey, it's telling me that I should stay in my bed, cause it's 2 in the night. Why can't I sleep when it's 2 in the night? Cause the fire in my soul, hey, the fire in my soul got me ready to fight, and I'm ready for war. You know I've been so lost in translation, like I'm fighting for truth in Babylon, trying to find my peace in the zone of war. Even when the day comes, yeah.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but I really like that song. That is the happiest angry song that I have ever found in my life. I mean, because if you listen to the words, those guys aren't real happy with what's going on, and they're more than willing to fight it. But they're happy and joyful warriors at the same time. Just really like that song. So, the news that I want to give everybody, and I can't give it all to you, and I can't tell you who yet, but I am here to happily announce that Senator Ted Gaines will be serving the end of his term here very shortly, and he will not be receiving a second one, because there will be a State of Jefferson candidate running against him that is more than capable of taking him out of the race and ripping him out of his seat and informing him that he will no longer be denying the will of the people and that he is going to pay the price for doing so. I'm very excited about who this candidate is. I'm itching at the trigger to tell you. I gotta wait a little bit, but there is no way, shape, or form that this person does not win. A spectacular person, willing to put up everything to sacrifice out of their own personal lives to make this run to do the right thing. Is going to be willing to advocate nonstop for the state of Jefferson and the legislature and to work tirelessly to defend the people until that can become a reality. Unlike Ted Gaines, he could probably name the counties in his constituency. He's not going to be a person that's going to hide at his country club and then make an appearance twice a year. And when he does appear, have to appear with an entourage of police officers because he's scared of the people that he represents. Really, really excited to see the things that are going to come out of this. And just a better person and a better man than Ted Gaines ever dreamed about being on all aspects. It's going to be a lot of fun. The next little while when the announcement's going to be made, you guys are going to get to know this person and get to know him well, because he's going to be accessible to the people, to the constituency. You're actually going to have representation that knows who you are, and you're going to know who they are. I don't think this person will ever show up at a public event and have someone ask, hey, who is that guy? And have someone say, oh, well, that's Senator Gaines, because they've never seen him before. They have no idea what he does or who he is. It's a person that's going to be willing to stand for the will of the people and do the things that the people want to do, even if it's not popular in Sacramento, even if it's not popular within party politics. You know, he's got a revolutionary concept, and that's do the will of the people and the best for the people, and actually be an advocate and an enabler of the people's will. We'll be bringing out more and more of that as we go on. That's what I get to tease you with right now. Getting some questions here in the chat room. Is he in politics now? No, he's not in politics now, which is one of the glorious things about him. And will he be on the show in time? Of course, he'll be on the show. He's going to be on a lot of shows. He's going to be, very accessible to the people, especially those up here in the northern end of the constituency that, you know, many aren't even aware that who their senator is. I had some conversations, and they're looking at developing techniques and using modern technology to make him accessible to the people on a mass scale. It's really going to be an exciting time. No, Jimmy, I'm not going to give you any hints on who it is or who it isn't. Sorry. Can't go there yet, as much as I would like to. But I am happy and honored to make the announcement. Senator Gaines, you are getting pulled out of your seat, and you're going to be left in a puddle of your own lies and deceit. And I can't wait to watch it happen, and I am ever so excited to be a part of it, because you're about to get jumped on by an 800-pound gorilla, and I'm really happy. And you ought to see my smile, sir. So, you know, maybe you ought to just do yourself a favor and not even think about running, and just stay on your tennis court down there at your country club. No one will miss you. So, anyways, we will be bringing up some more of that. And I wanted to get into, you know, some of the things that, what do you think you could do with a free state? And what are some of the possibilities that we could do with a free state? Because I know on the show we harp a lot on what's wrong and why it needs to be fixed and how to fix it. And all of that, that's a necessary message. It needs to be, kind of driven home for a lot of people, because some people don't get it until you drive it home. But at the same time, when we go to these events and we see, you know, the new converts to the state of Jefferson, and we see the hope in their eyes and the possibilities, it really is the best part of this whole thing, is when you see it click, people go, we can fix this. We can do this thing. And, you know, think to yourself some of the possibilities of things that you could do. You know, if you were in a free state that actually supported business and defended you from the government, what kind of business would you start? Would you start a business? What would you do? I don't know. It's a lot of possibilities are endless. We were talking to one guy that said he would love to start a software production company, and what more beautiful place to do it than at the base of Mount Shasta. You know, there's a solid performing green industry that would bring in jobs. You know, you get things like that, and then you've got an excuse for somebody to build a tech school. You know, you've got agriculture that can be restored. One of the things that we found is we've found some resources to actually track economic trade and things like that. We're just kind of getting our hands around being able to use it. But one of the things that we really, really noticed is there is no longer a flow of agricultural products out of the state of California. We used to be the breadbasket of the world. We used to feed our country. We used to feed the world. And agriculture is kind of dead, believe it or not. I mean, I know you can still drive up and down I-5 and the orchards are still there and the rice fields are still there, but the amount of agricultural industry that we used to have, it's gone. The Central Valley is hurting. I had a conversation with somebody this weekend too that's from the Central Valley, and they said they are driving out the farms. They're killing the farms. They're killing the agricultural production of California. You know, so if you had a free state, what could you do? You know, if you had free access to water to actually run your farm or your livestock and these different things. But we do have a caller. We've got Billy Bob from Palisadro. We'll get in here to him. Good morning, Billy. Hello? Bob. You there?
Yes.
Hey, Billy Bob.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Red, great job. I listen to you regularly, and I commend your efforts for this cause, as usual. But the one thing I'd like to add to your quiver of arrows when you argue for the state of Jefferson is this big, big lack of representation, of course, locally and statewide, but we also are a state of winner-take-all in the electoral college, and that there's no matter who you vote for up here in the North state, it all slam dunks as Democrat, and they get all of our electoral votes, and that is just absolutely a travesty. And again, that ought to be a real big reason to push for State of Jefferson. And I just wanted to mention that because, again, they don't even come and campaign in California because they know it's Democrat.
Yeah, they don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, we can campaign all we want, and we don't have a chance. So that's, I think you ought to really shove that in your quiver of arrows and start throwing them out there because that's a big, big problem. I'll let you go. Thanks.
All right. I appreciate that, Billy Bob. And that is another aspect of it is federally. You know, we're very focused on what we can do on the local and the state level because we believe in grassroots, bottom-up fixing this thing. But it is a very good point that, you know, it is a winner-take-all. Depending on the way that things are going, when we initially looked at what we thought was going to be the state of Jefferson, we were looking at taking about 4 electoral votes with us. If things are continuing on the path that they're going to, we may end up with as many as 8 electoral votes. And we may look at restoring some things to that the original Constitution wanted because there was a reason for the way that it did it. We may go back to a direct legislative electorate of our senators. There was a reason that they put that in the Constitution the way that they did that, so that the people had their house in the assembly and the state was able to defend itself at the senatorial level. You know, that's some kind of deeper constitutional thought and some of the reasons for it. But there was a very valid reason that was set up that way. And when they put the senators on to a popular vote, well, that broke that system. Because if you look at the breakdown, if we had the actual representatives the way that we're supposed to on the county-by-county basis, then each county would have a representative, and then those representatives from the separate counties would vote for who was the senators that sent to the federal government. And if you look at the breakdown of what those senators would be and the counties that they represent and the constituents that they represent, ask yourself, do you think Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein would be on their way to Washington every year if we each had a senator and our senators were picking our federal senators the way that they're supposed to under the Constitution? Or do you think we'd have 2 different senators? And I'll leave you with that thought as we get off to our last break here, and we'll see you on the other side.
Well, the truth, well, it hurts to say, I'm gonna pack up my bags and I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna split, I can't stand it. I'm gonna give it up and quit, ain't never coming back. Girl, but before I get to going, I got to say, I know you used to love me, but that was yesterday. And the truth, I won't fight it. When the love starts burning, you got to do what's right. Whoa, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more. Whoa, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more. Well, the truth, yeah, it hurts to see.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
It's time to cowboy up and think pink. September 19th at Reading Rodeo Grounds.
Wear your boots and get your pink on and join your friends in the Reading Rodeo Arena for a stake feed.
Proceeds donated to NorCal Think Pink and the Reading Rodeo Association Agriculture Scholarship Fund for local high school students. It's music, dancing, live and silent auction, and a special tribute to breast cancer survivors. Individual tickets, $25. Get yours early. Only 500 tickets available. Get your tickets right now at readingrodeo.com.
It's hot and smoky, and yet they're on the job 24 hours around the clock, protecting our lives, our homes, and our property. From all of us on the China Fire and all the fires in the North State, a huge thank you for all you do. You saved our homes and patrolled our streets, keeping the looters at bay. Although we were without electricity, most of us returned to our homes standing safe, if a little singed. To our firefighters and our police force, thank you seems so trivial. We are sincerely indebted to you.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. And you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Well, I don't know about one of these days. I think that day is here. And I do believe that the change is upon us. Things that I've been watching and going on, and just even over the last couple of years, the change in attitude in California and the change of the people as they're waking up to the reality of what their government is doing to them and the things that are going on, it's exciting to see. And I'm here to tell everybody that there is a tidal wave, a tsunami, a freight train of unbelievable scope that is coming, and you better figure out whether you're going to get on the train or you're going to be standing on the tracks, because it's going to go by so fast it's not even going to notice you. So with that, we've got another caller on the line, James from Reading.
Hi.
How's it going?
Not bad. I was calling to inquire about seems, you know, with as long as the movement's been going forward and everything, I haven't noticed a super PAC for the state of Jefferson get going yet. I've done some inquiring. It sounds like some people are starting to work on it a little bit, but I was just calling to find out if I'm mistaken, I'm just missing it, or what's going on with it.
If you go to the SOJ51.net website, you will find a place to donate. We have a very small 501c4 that we use to do some advertising and some printing of materials. But as far as a super PAC or anything like that goes, at this time, to be perfectly honest, we don't want one. We don't want to invite we don't want to invite the special interests. We don't want to invite the lobbyists and their hooks. We want grassroots movement of the people, by the people, and for the people. We don't want to let the devil in the kitchen.
Alrighty.
So,
okay, thank you.
Thank you. So, And there have been a lot of people that have been asked about, you know, that have asked about that. And in time, things like that will have to come as we get into legislation with Sacramento and some of the negotiations and the things that are going to go on. It's certainly going to be needed, especially if we end up in a court case, which is a big possibility. But those are things that we'll address at a time and a manner that allows us to maintain our integrity and maintain our dignity and maintain our grassroots tie to the people and to the message and what we're really about. We're not going to sell our souls at the beginning so that we can recreate what we're trying to escape. And that's a lot of the reasons why we haven't gone forward with some of these things. A lot of people, good-intentioned people, I mean, don't get me wrong, good-intentioned people have asked about these PACs and things like that. And like I said, it's something that may be addressed in the future. Kind of it's up in the air right now as we see which direction the movement needs to go. And a lot of that's going to be dependent on Sacramento and what they think they're going to do. I think they've finally got it through their head. They can't ignore us. That was the initial step, was, oh, we'll just pretend like they're not there. That's not working for them. So I do appreciate the question. And there are some people that are better versed to speak on that, the financial issues of that, than I am. But initially, why we have not gone that route so far is because we are grassroots. We mean it when we say that we're the people. You know, it's not going to be the state of Jefferson brought to you by Carl's Jr. or the state of Jefferson brought to you by Coca-Cola or anything like that. We want a free state. And to do that, you have to do it by the people. So, now getting back to, you know, kind of ask yourself and, you know, think about it. What would you do in a free state? Well, what are the possibilities? I talked to a lot of former small business owners yesterday. And there are a lot of former small business owners that wouldn't be former small business owners if it wasn't for the state of California, and that understand and would become small business owners once again within the state of Jefferson, because they would not have the regulation that's driven them out. I talked to probably 12 or 13 different people that had been driven out of business either by the taxes or the regulations of California. I mean, how insane is that? I don't know. I have a hard time discussing it sometimes without Bob having to hit the button on me, because it's frustrating, and the logic around it and the apathy and the logic that has allowed it to exist for so long is baffling to me too. But I really do believe a lot of that is changing. You know, imagine what we could be with reasonable and responsible harvesting of our resources. You know, somebody asked us, well, how do you get the environmental groups to understand that harvesting of trees is not the end of the world? And I said, well, we don't get them to understand that. We can't even get them to understand that dredging a river for gold creates spawning beds for salmon at the same time. We can't get them to understand that. And the reason is they don't want to understand that because it's not really about the environmentalism for them. It's about the control. It's about the money that comes with environmental justice. I mean, let's call the green movement what it is. It's not about social responsibility. It's not about environmentalism. It's not about protecting our forests. It's about corruption and theft and taking all of your money that they can and funneling it through the government so that they can distribute it to these special interest groups so that they can give it to them through the form of PACs and get them reelected. And that's part of what we really need to do in this awakening is stop arguing over the treatment for the symptom. Let's find the cure for the disease. Stop being distracted and deflected. And stop being afraid to call a spade because of political correctness. You know, in modern day society, most people will tell you, oh, you can't say that about the environmental movement. You know, they're good. That's not politically correct. Well, you know, I got a First Amendment that tells you exactly what you can do with your political correctiveness. They probably wrote it a lot more eloquently than I would say it to you, but essentially the message is the same. I've got a right to offend whoever I want, especially when I'm telling the truth. And, you know, questions like that break that mindset. You know, break the mindset of, well, how do you convince the environmental groups? You don't. They're nuts. They don't care about squirrels or chipmunks or owls or anything else. They've developed a green mafia that's a way to rip us off. They're part of the problem. Why am I worried about convincing them of anything? They're going to fight us tooth or nail no matter what we say because we're a threat to their gravy train. We're a threat to their food trough. So break the mold, and we'll see you next week, Jefferson, and I look forward to bringing you more information. You know, maybe, Bob, I should have had you go out with the music for Ted Gaines. Na, 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 na. Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye. Keep the sunny side up, Jefferson.
And Sovereign Minds is next at KCNR Shasta, Redding.
With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. The Big Island of Hawaii is bracing for high winds, heavy rain, and ocean swells today of up to 20 feet as strengthening Hurricane Ignacio approaches.
Major Hurricane Ignacio continues moving steadily toward the northwest. Ignacio slowed down a little bit, but is continuing to move toward the main Hawaiian islands, although it's expected to stay to the northeast.
Tommy Evans is with the Central Pacific Hurricane Center. Ignacio has grown to a Category 4 storm with sustained winds of up to 135 miles an hour. The investigation continues into the murder of a Texas sheriff's deputy last week.
A 30-year-old man is facing capital murder charges in the killing of a uniformed sheriff's deputy who was gunned down from behind while filling his patrol car with gas in what officials describe as a senseless and cowardly act. The arrest of Shannon J. Miles came